We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. This is Jimmy Clark with your Today in Ag program, and I got a good one. We got the Jimmy program. So anyway, it's 67 degrees, humidity is 18, the winds are out of the north at 10 miles an hour, and I have some breaking news for you. Or I don't, Skinny does. But anyway, Aaron Kaut with Skinny on the Sports Report is in here with some not so good news.
Yeah, this may be kind of a daily, weekly thing here for a little bit, but as of just a couple of minutes ago, tomorrow night's games for the Elk City basketball teams have been postponed. It's supposed to go down to Elgin to play the Owls and the Lady Owls. That's not going to happen tomorrow. Those games have been rescheduled for Monday, February 14th. It's going to be 6:30 down there in Elgin on that Monday, Valentine's Day. So the games tomorrow for Elk City have been postponed until Monday, February 14th. So I would assume that we probably have some more information like this coming for some of the small schools before tomorrow night's game is supposed to tip off. If we do, we'll get that out there to you as quickly as we possibly can. But Elk City and Elgin decided just a couple of minutes ago they're going to reschedule for Monday, February 14th. So no Elk City basketball tomorrow night.
All right. Well, thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. Hey, let's go play golf after this.
Yeah, let's go. I'm ready. Well, all kinds of, man, we got all kinds of stuff here today, and Jimmy Emmons from Leedy is here, and we're going to talk about the new U.S. drought monitor that just come out. Jimmy's got some comparisons for other droughts, and we're going to talk about some stuff we can work on until we get some rain. But anyway, you guys hang tight for that. Meanwhile, I'm going to skip some of the stuff that I usually do first thing, but I am going to give you the cash grain reports, and then I'm going to go to a USDA report that came out yesterday from the World Agriculture Supply and Demand Estimates. Hard red winter wheat in Oklahoma as of an hour ago was $7.25. Corn's at $5.89, Milo's at $5.87, soybeans at $13.12 a bushel, and cotton's at $1.17 a pound. So it looks like wheat, corn, Milo took a nice little hit overnight, but soybeans are hanging in there tough, and cotton's just crazy. I love it. Anyway, the wait is finally over. The USDA's provided traders and farmers with its final production tally of the 21 crop on Wednesday. Along with crop production, the agency also released the latest World Agriculture Supply and Demand Estimates, the WASDE, and grain stocks. January is the only month where USDA releases that report and the grain stocks on the same day. The USDA slightly boosted corn production estimates, but not due to a change in national yield. Instead, corn seen a bump in total production due to the USDA slightly increasing both areas planted and area harvested. The USDA did find the national average soybean yield in 2021 was slightly higher than in previous reports. Here's some of the changes to the crop production in January in this January's report. Boosting soybean yield to 51.4 bushels per acre. That's up from 51.2. Soybean production up 10 million bushels thanks to a higher total production in both Iowa and Indiana. Corn production increased by 53 million bushels. Corn area planted at 93.4 million. That's up from 93.3 million in December. Corn area harvested at 85.4 million, and that's up from the 85.1 million in December. While USDA's January crop production report did include final estimates on the 2021 yield and production, Arlen Suderman of StoneX Group points out USDA tends to adjust those final numbers in September in the September grain stock reports. I guess there are final, they are final until September when USDA changes them again, right? But no change on corn yield today. He's 0.2 of a bushel increase in soybeans. The soybean adjustments are well within what we normally get. The way of an adjustment for the January report, he said, we saw about a 300,000 acre increase in harvested acres of corn. That's not really materially significant. Well, 300,000 acres of corn is a lot of dang corn, if you ask me. But anyway, how does 2021 yield stack up to 2020? USDA says the corn yield at 177 bushels per acre, which has been penciled in since November, is a new national yield record average for the USA. Last year, the USDA reported the 2020 national yield was at 171.4 bushels per acre, so that's up about 5 bushels. The average national average in soybean was 51 bushels, just 0.4 bushels behind the 2020 yield. Too much rain may have hurt yields for some producers this year, not ours. USDA says despite weather to start the growing year, Iowa actually out-yielded Illinois this year in corn. Iowa's average corn yield came to 205 bushels per acre compared to 202 in Illinois. It's really impressive what our genetics are doing, Suderman points out, and it's not just genetics. It's also seed placement and the mechanical technology that we have being able to get these crops to produce. Farmers are managing them very well, and so the dry northwestern Midwest did a much better job than we feared during the growing season. The drought did a major impact on production in certain states this year. USDA's largest year-over-year revisions came in South Dakota and North Dakota, where they reported it took another 24.5 bushels per acre off of North Dakota state average, and South Dakota, they took 16.7 bushels off of their national their average. Let me see here. Cotton crop climbs. Yeah, I mean, it is. The USDA revised its cotton yield forecast 2 pounds higher in January with a new average yield of 849 pounds per acre. 2021 total production ended up at 21% higher than in 2020. The USDA cotton farmers produce a crop that's equal to 17.6 million 480 pound cotton bales. That's a lot of cotton. 17 million. I don't even, where do they stack it at? Harvest acres were also much better. The USDA showing farmers harvested 9.97 million in 2021, and that's up 20% from 2020. USDA says while food, seed, and industrial use for corn is on the rise, exports were revised lower. Total corn use is virtually unchanged at 14.835 billion bushels. Exports lowered 75 million bushels to 2.425 billion due to increased competition. Ethanol use increased 75 million bushels. They didn't revise crush and export estimates for soybeans, which left ending stocks at 350 million bushels. This was despite the USDA lowering its production forecasts for Brazil and Argentina for due to weather concerns. Key revisions to the South American included Paraguay's crop lowered 1.5 million tons to 8.5 million tons, and the global soybean stock was reduced 6.8 tons to 95.2 million based on lower stocks from Brazil and Argentina. Well, there's just an overview. This thing was a mile long, and I just went through there and read the stuff I thought you guys would might be interested in. Well, coming up in my next segment, Mr. Jimmy Emmons is here for the Jimmy and Jimmy Show, for this show, so don't go nowhere. You want to hear this. We're going to be talking about the drought and some stuff that he's learned from some other people and climatologists that he's heard from, so you want to hear this. I'm not saying it's good or bad yet. You just need to listen to find out. But anyway, we're streaming live on Facebook. We are live on the radio, if you hadn't heard. And Paragon app, you can get on it on your phone if you're going out of the listening area, the radio range, I call it. And if you miss it, we're doing, you can go back to KECOFM.com. And the KECO Ag text line is open. So while Jimmy's in here, you shoot me some texts on something you might want to know about. We'll read it over and see if we can get it answered. But anyway, it's at 580-225-9697. I'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on KECO.
My background is in AI service. If you're doing that, you're more progressive. You're not going to the sale barn and buying a bull for the cheapest you can get. You're searching for better genetics. You're searching for a better quality product. Just like, do you go down to the used car store and buy the car with all the dents and dings, or do you want the new car? We decided we'd start building our own pretty vehicles rather than going paying the price for the pretty vehicle. B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Are you in the market to buy or sell cattle? Then don't miss Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale's every Wednesday at 9:30 a.m. Buyers can bid in person or online. To consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. That's 580-331-8547. Be sure and check out the market reports and each week's penny news. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Welcome back. 66 degrees, humidity 18, winds out of the north at 11 miles an hour, gusting up to hurricane strength at 15 miles an hour. And that's it. Well, welcome to the show, Mr. Emmons.
Hey, good day. Glad to be here, Jimmy.
I'm glad you're back. I need to have you in here more often, but man, every time I see you on social media, you're somewhere.
It's been wild. My schedule's travel screen. Schedule's pretty hot right now.
Well, I'm glad you're a popular guy. And I texted him one night. I was sitting there reading something on the drought and some, you know, and fertilizer price and all this. I said, I need to get Jimmy on here. We need to kind of update everybody what's going on. But as you and I talked about right before the show started, the new U.S. drought monitor map is out.
Yeah.
And there's some more red in Oklahoma, but what I did notice is, and that's the D3, what I did notice is there's a lot more D2 over towards central Oklahoma.
Yeah, basically the western half is in extreme drought right now, and then that other is creeping further east too, and I'm afraid it's going to grow.
You know, Lacey, bless her heart, she's always optimistic, and she's not one to say, I'm not going to tell you what's happening in 2 weeks, because it could change. But the last two times she's been on my show, she's been pretty sure of this two or three more months of no rain coming
up.
Well,
we're in that pattern, La Nina, that's got that boundary to the north of us about northern Kansas, and from there north, they're going to have some, which they needed it. They were in the drought before we were, but they're going to catch the weather through there, and we're going to catch the warmth and a few, you know, splatters of cold like we're going to have this weekend, but very little precipitation and above normal temperatures, which doesn't help that.
No, I mean, it's nice. The weather's warm for the winter. I mean, who would have thought the golf course would have been full yesterday on January 12th? I mean, that's just crazy. But I was looking at the map, and there's only three counties left in Oklahoma that has no drought going on.
Yeah, and that's where they got them heavier rains, the last two showers or fronts that went through here. So they're lucky right in that area. But
we're not so lucky everywhere else.
No, we're not. And you and I were talking about just a cloud. You've seen a cloud of dust up there at Quartermaster coming in here this morning where the cattle are grazing. And I was telling you about the other day, you know, that place of mine's a mile long, and they were at one end, and I showed up at the other end, but they knew I was there, and they come running, and there's only 20 animals there, but it looked like a stampede coming at me with all the dirt flying. So,
yeah.
And like I said, I should ask Dr. Mouse this morning or Joey over there at Circle M this morning if they're having a more respiratory problems with their cattle right now. I could see that happening a lot on some calves.
Yeah, I mean, you need to really keep a close eye on them. And if one looks kind of sick, you need to be addressing that right away, because tomorrow he's going to be really maybe too sick. So
maybe
stay on
past
it.
That a point of no return.
Yes.
But anyway,
yes.
Well, you said something when you walked in right before the show started that you'd been you had a conversation with a climatologist, and this ain't good news, but you guys, this is the way it is. But it was pretty interesting what Jimmy said.
Yeah, sure. So Clay Pope, it works for the Southern Climate Hub in El Reno, 2 days ago had a climatologist from Texas on, and they were talking about the drought and what they forecast. And my work with the Conservation Commission now and former USDA, I worked with several of the climate hubs and the climatologists across the country. And like what I was saying, this La Nina setup where we're in a dry slot, the climatologist in Texas actually had a comparison of the 2011 drought, and we're in the same scenario, the same track, but we're also 2 to 3 months earlier in the season with this drought than we were in 2011. So if you remember in 10 and 11, we had a decent fall and had some wheat up, and it wasn't all dying this time of year,
right?
Like we're seeing now. So the drought is actually in the season format a little bit earlier. But we're in that segment, and above normal temperatures also increases evaporation, which back in 11 we were cooler in the winter. So that's made things a little worse as well. So we're in it for a while, it looks like, and we need to be preparing for the worst and hoping and praying for the best.
Yeah, and being early this time is not good.
No, I mean, we all try to survive or help survive the winter with some wheat pasture and cool season grazing, and it's been very, very limited around here and west and north. Further east have been blessed a little bit earlier, and then it was actually too wet there at wheat planting, so but they're paying the cost now. So these cattle are really in extreme dust, and this wheat's very short. Some of the things we need to be thinking about, Jimmy, is how long do we keep them cattle out there? If it doesn't rain for another month or two or three and we get extreme winds in here, you know, we need to watch how close we're grazing that off. And like some of it's maybe past that point already. We don't want another repeat of the 30s or the 50s with some dust.
And I was going to ask you about that today, because I've seen some wheat pastures yesterday headed down to Willow. I seen some yesterday that don't even have cattle on them, and it's starting to look pretty thin. And that's not down in that area, it doesn't blow too bad, but just right north of here where all this sand and stuff is, and you start getting some big winds, it really probably won't matter what kind of soil it is.
Yeah, it gets really fragile when we get these high temperatures and this low humidity, like 17% today.
Yep.
You know, that's extremely low for this time of the season, and it'll only get worse as them fronts come through. So we really need to think about the health of the cattle, but also the health of the soil and the land, because we don't want to start blowing here if we get into this time frame of March, which typically is our high wind period for us, last of February in through March. So that's just something to think about. I know as cattlemen, we all want to get what's out there and all of it, but we do need to give that a little break if we can, and take advantage. These markets have been pretty decent lately.
Yeah, they're just slowly creeping up. Yeah. I got the reports from Elk City and Clinton, and then I got Well, while we're sitting here talking, let's just look at this one that I got from Hobart yesterday.
They probably had a good market down there.
Yeah, they did. They had, well, I had it up here for a second. It won't be hard to find it real quick.
Yeah.
There we go. Here we go. So yesterday at Hobart, they was, well, right here, they was in the 300 to 400 pound range, they were bringing up to 240 a pound.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a lot of optimism of grass and wheat pasture graze out. That's mentality. It's time to buy right now. You know, I'm no market genius for sure because I always sell on the lows and buy on the highs. But, you know, if you're out of something to eat and feed's pretty high, you know, it might be a good time to start thinking and pushing the pencil on the taking advantage of that market. The sad thing about these drought markets is when it does hit and it does start going down, it normally doesn't rebound for a while. So sometimes we always wait with everybody else, and then we catch a down market. So it is strong right now. Maybe it's going to get stronger. Who knows? But yep. Just things to think about.
Well, the 2011 drought, you know, the market was down. People were calling cattle. The drought overall wasn't as big as the one we're having now. Basically, everything west of the Mississippi's in a drought.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, there's some areas in the north and northwest are recovering slightly, but they're recovering during the driest months of the year. There's nothing going to grow up there in December and January.
Right. And even though the excessive snow that they've had in the mountains in California and the Sierras still is not going to offset their dry reservoirs. I mean, it's going to take an historic snowpack to refill them. They've been in such a drought for a long time in North Dakota and South Dakota and Montana and West, in Texas, New Mexico, and Arizona. All of them have been in extreme drought for quite a while. So it takes a lot of precipitation to overcome that as you come out of that. And normally, we all know that these droughts are followed by a wet period, but that wet period may not come for a while.
Yeah, and our wet period didn't last long enough from our 2011 drought. I think the drought finally got its back broken, if I remember right, in the summer of 2015, if I remember right. That's when I got some rain in the ponds finally.
Yeah.
And
you know, we almost had a flooding event that month of May.
Yeah.
Here in Elk City.
Yeah.
And because I flew over a lot of these watershed dams then as they were just about to overtop and was emergency spillways. So that was a good reprieve of the drought, but it was heck to pay before we got to that.
Yeah, and then, but it takes so long for your groundwater reservoirs to build back up, and because they were so depleted, what we call that 5-year drought, probably.
Yeah,
and because it really started in 2010, but 11 it hit hard.
Oh yeah,
and then but it takes so long for that soil to get built back up, and we almost were there, and here we go again. Yeah. So,
and that's things you got to think about on these rangeland is keeping as much grass and cover out there as you can. First of all, to keep the wind erosion down, keep that soil ready to take a snow if we'd happen to catch it, or a good big rainfall. Keep that sponge out there so when it does come that we can take all we can take to fill that profile back up. And instead of keeping that eat off to the ground, where if we do get a March snow or late February snow, that it doesn't all blow off in the bar ditch and head down the stream. Of course, if you got a lake below that, you know, you can always catch it there, but let's catch it out on the land where we really need it.
That's absolutely, because you can still see a little bit of the results from the 2011 drought, where some guys were just hoping that we were going to get a rain that next spring and everything green back up, and it didn't happen. And overgrazing happened. And then this went on for another couple of years, and they either sold their cows or they didn't. And then when it did start raining, there's a lot of that grass didn't come back to see us.
Yeah, that's one thing you got to, you know, on range management is you really got to protect that root zone. And so the closer you graze that to the ground, the less roots you have. So if you can imagine what's sticking above the ground, that typically tells you how much root mass you have in rangeland below the ground.
All right.
So when you have that eat off, you have very little root mass in the ground to survive on, and it survives through the winter on carbohydrates and stored kind of like a root cellar.
Right.
And, you know, if you take that away, then it doesn't have much to live on. And when we get hard freezes and dry periods, it can be extremely difficult on that native range.
Well, you hang on to that thought, Mr. Emmons, because I got a question for you right on that right there.
All right.
We're going to take a short break. When we come back, Jimmy Emmons from Leedy is joining me on, we're talking about soil health, drought, and my allergy pill hasn't kicked in yet. So you guys just bear with me. It's Jim Bonics that you're listening to right now. So we'll be right back. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, January 10th. 2,755 head were sold. 6 head of steers at 413 brought 220. 11 at 631 brought 166. 65 at 691 brought 162.35. 10 at 916 brought 144. 5 head of heifers at 352 brought 168. 12 at 513 brought 155. 13 at 604 brought 130. 59 at 836 brought 142.50. Butcher cows were 30 to 74. Butcher bulls 60 to 97. Bred cows were 670 to 1,000. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction. Exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
In this area, a lot of people wean their calves off their cows in the fall. Wheat's planted in the fall, and they buy calves. They take them to the sale barn or maybe private treaty. They run them through the winter on wheat. And some sell in March before they cut their wheat. Some take them through May and graze out their wheat and sell them in May or run them through grass in the summer. I have cattle. The guys I work with, they have cattle. I'm a fourth generational rancher. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
I'm back. Bear with me here a second. There we go. Let's recirculate the circle. Yep, we come up by 1 degree since the show started. 67, wind still out of the north, 11, gust up to 14, and the humidity is 17. So there's still enough breeze out there. Man, this grass right now with this low humidity and everything is just like gasoline out there. So be careful of what you're doing out there. And if you got any brush piles burning from yesterday or today, make sure they're out, because tomorrow night, now I'll let you know in the forecast coming up, the Long Ranger tomorrow night, she's going to hit with a vengeance. And I'm not kidding you. They're talking 45 and 50 mile an hour wind. So she's not going to be calm. Well, in the studio with me right now is Mr. Jimmy Emmons. We're having the Jimmy show.
There you go.
Yeah. My three favorite guests is all names Jimmy. I got you, I got Jimmy Taylor, and I got Jimmy Music.
You know, them Jimmys are good ones. I like Jimmy Taylor, love Jimmy Music.
Yeah, and I get a few text messages every now and then calling me Jaime. So anyway, yeah, you call me Senor Jaime or Mr. Jimmy, whatever you want to do. Okay, so you were talking about the grass above the ground and the roots below. So I got a question for you. So about 6 weeks ago, we got enough of a freeze that put a pretty good sting on the Bermuda grass when things, you know, it was so green for so long this last fall. So anyway, the grass went dormant pretty much. But I noticed we got the warmer temperatures come back, and it started slightly greening back up. So is my theory that that's not good? Tell me, I want to learn something, and you're the expert. So I didn't think that was good, because when grasses, no matter what kind they are, go dormant for the winter, they've got energy stored up around their roots. So if they start greening back up, are they using some of that energy?
They're going to pull that reserve up because they think it's spring.
Yep.
Warm temperatures and lots of sunshine right now. And so it's kind of a false spring here that's happening. And as they try to get kick-started and start photosynthesizing again, they're going to start using water, which they don't have, in nutrients. And then we get this big cold snap over the weekend and get these, you know, big winds out of the north and freezing temperatures. And actually, wind chill is going to be below zero, right at zero, it looks like.
Right.
Extremely hard on them plants.
So is it better for when things are going dormant, is it better for to have moisture in the ground or not? And then we don't have any more, because freeze drying's got to be hard on everything.
Yeah, that's what the big concern is. And we've been fortunate that we haven't had that big, big, long-lasting effect freeze like we had a year ago in February. I mean, it would be disastrous right now if we would get that cold on this wheat and grasses, because we would see a lot of freeze kill, I'm sure, because it's so dry and there's just not enough insulation in the ground to take care of that.
We had somewhat of a little moisture last spring. It was kind of a dry spring because that first rain that our listening area got saved the wheat. I mean, it was getting down to the cutting on that, but there was some grass kills then, that 2 week deal you was talking about.
Yeah, that 20 below zero is just unheard of in our area, and that was extremely hard on the grass. And that goes back to that range management, and it's so hard as cattlemen that to get off that grass and keep that there, but that root mass is so important to manage. And that grubbing it to the ground is bad on soil health. It's bad on water infiltration, but it's bad on roots too. And it's that three punch.
It's bad on quail too.
Yeah. So them quail are in jeopardy, like they have been for quite a while.
Well, I've been hunting a handful of times for quail so far this year, and I've noticed that the quail are in the drought mode. Yeah. All right, they were in the drought mode when season started. You know, talked to some guys that hunt public up around Cheyenne on the Black Kettle and in that area, and they're finding the quail in the trees. I mean, I'm talking about, you know, on the ground in the trees. They're not out in the plum thickets and the big grass. They're in the trees already, and that's a sign that they're in the drought mode.
Yeah, well, who wants to be down in the dust all the time? And
exactly.
They may be looking to see if there's a cloud coming, you know.
Yeah, never, you know, I have seen my dog point at a tree, and I'm looking around there, and you look up there, and that bird's up there on that lower limb. I was like, man, I should have got this on video. But anyway, because, you know, there's a lot more to this cattle grazing. You know, we've got to think of our ecosystem, you know.
That's right.
Wildlife and bugs, insects have everything to do with it.
Yeah, it the whole ecosystem has got to function, or nothing functions very well.
Right.
And we really got to watch. It's about managing the whole entire system, not just a cow herd, or not just, you know, the dogs and cats and everything. It's the like you said, the whole ecosystem out there, because it's created to function in a big circle. And so when you don't have the forbs and the seeds out there for the quail to feed on, the pond water, the streams that's running for them to have water, or dew. I mean, a lot of the birds and stuff live on dew.
But we ain't having none.
Well, we're not having any dew. So, you know, it's time to be watching and helping them as well, if you have some tanks around where they can get some water. So
yeah, here's one of my buddies texting, oh, here we go on the quail deal again.
Yep.
So, but it's all important. You know, I love the quail part, but I understand. I hope I understand the whole system. Well, you know what the fertilizer prices are doing.
Yeah, skyrocket.
They're skyrocketing. And if we start getting some rain in the spring, what are your thoughts on, I mean, you can't afford.
No, you need to be pulling soil test, and I would recommend the Haney test, because the Haney test would look into the organic N, not just the synthetic N side. So if you have some N in there that you can utilize, you need to do that instead of buying more N. So, you know, get a complete test to know where you're at in the system would really help.
Yeah, I've been talking about that the last few months. Soil test. They're not that expensive.
No.
And even the real complicated ones that test everything, that usually around $60-$70. Yep. That's cheap.
The Haney test at Regen Labs is $50.
Right.
And everybody says, oh my gosh, it's $50. Well, at $1,000 urea price, $50 test to know exactly where you're at would be a very cheap investment.
Yeah, totally and cheap, because we just got a soil test from one of our farms down by Granite, and we have 50 pounds of nitrogen in there.
Yeah.
And because we
plenty just, for right now.
Yeah, plenty for what, you know, we had an alfalfa, and we done away with it 2 years ago, and we still have 50 pounds of nitrogen
right
in there.
So you need to utilize that. Brian Arnall with OSU will tell you that your wheat really doesn't need an N, a heavy dose of N, until late in the spring when it makes its move. So we got plenty of time here to evaluate that. But get your test pulled, and then if we do get them rains in time, there's still plenty of time to put that on. Don't waste money until you have to.
What's the latest that you can put N down without it not helping?
Well, it depends on your goals, because you can put N down even when it's heading to help the protein level.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. So there's lots of windows of small multiple doses that you could do to help that. So, you know, we have plenty of time, Jim. We got to get a rain first.
He's worrying me first.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Water first.
Hey, you had just got your new job title when you come on the show the first time.
It's going great. The mentoring program with the Conservation Commission is growing. We're doing more consultations, going out, pulling soil tests, looking at rangeland, talking about grazing plans. It's really been going very well. We're gearing up. We're doing a strategic planning here within ourselves at the office for this coming year, and how we're going to get out, how we're going to get everything done. The General Mills project's going well in the three counties that we're in. Tyson has come to us wanting us to do something with their growers in the eastern part of the state for regenerative grain for their birds and their cattle operations. So, you know, there's a lot going on, Jimmy, that really is positive in ag. We can just get around this drought and get things going back, because markets are better.
Yep.
Of course, inputs are going up dramatically.
Oh, my gosh.
Fuel, oil. If you can find oil for your pickup right now is a big deal, and tractors and stuff. So
Tires
are very expensive if you can get them. So we really just got to manage in drought mode here for a while, because we may be in a longer term than we want to admit.
Right. Yeah. It was like I said, Lacey, she I don't even think she wanted to come on the show the last 2 weeks, because she knew I was going to ask her, hey, when's that rain coming? And she's, like I said, she's always positive, and she says no in a positive way. But yeah it's not looking good. Well, you were talking about, you briefly touched on that General Mills project. Can you let our listeners know what that was about?
So General Mills is investing in soil health and regenerative ag practices in four counties in Oklahoma. They're doing a lot in Kansas and further north, clear up into Canada, that's going to help their sourcing of grain, the quality of grain. They're trying to build a market right now for regenerative grown grain, which is more nutrient dense, so that the grain would be better quality. And so that's what they're wanting to invest in, to help producers with education and understanding of the soil function, the ecosystems, how this all works together. That we know that a healthy soil will provide a healthy plant, and a healthy plant then also fights off insect disease more, so that you don't have to use as much chemicals. So that all helps in the big picture of the quality of food that we have, and the better the quality of food we eat, the better our health is.
Right.
So it's a big circle that we were just talking about, that we really need to understand and know more about, to really manage this system the way it is. We've never worried about that in the last 100 years.
Right.
But it's time now to start looking at the bigger picture.
Yep, because there's, you know, you talk about chemicals, the input on the cost of chemicals. Kent Watkins was on here last Wednesday, and was talking about what a Toda Roundup cost. It's, it used to be $4,000, $5,000, $6,000. Now it's $16,000. So you gotta start using your head and just managing your soil and your grass. It doesn't have to be farmland. You need to start managing your grasslands, rangelands.
You need to manage everything. A total farm aspect to really understand that management decision, and, you know, take off a little earlier. You know, take half, leave half is a good range. Sadly, not everyone does that. And then we see these extreme conditions, and, you know, this big fire up in Kansas a month ago where they had 100-mile-an-hour winds.
Russell County.
Yeah, it was devastating up there. And then you have these freezes and stuff. That grass is really going to struggle in this spring, and they'll really need a year's rest on that. And that's hard to do,
because they got a grass fire at the worst possible time, because it's not going to green up until spring, and that is if they get any rain, because they're in the same drought we're in.
Yeah, and you mentioned that a while ago. Please don't do any burning out and about around now, because with these fronts coming through, that's what we got in 18 with these wind shifts. And, I mean, a fire would be almost impossible to put out in 40 to 60 to 80 mile an hour winds in this low humidity with the fuel load that we have in some areas.
Yeah, that grass is like gasoline.
Yes.
You throw a match down there, poof, you know. But there's because we got we don't need that. We don't need another 18. And I feel for those guys up there in Kansas, because, I mean, that was the worst time for that big fire. And I think, what, 400,000 acres?
Yes. And, you know, try to stand up in the back of a pickup going 100 miles an hour and understand what a 100-mile-an-hour wind. You know, a hurricane is 75 miles an hour. I can't imagine. We went through that 2018 fire with 60-mile-an-hour winds. I can't imagine adding on another 40-mile-an-hour. I mean, that would just be
devastating.
Yeah.
It's definitely, because I remember from the 2018 fires, I always forget his name, the highway patrolman that's at Laverne. And you know who I'm talking about, though, don't you? Because he's got cattle. Yeah. And he was out there on that highway, I think 412 or one of those, and he was going 77 in his car, and he wasn't catching that fire.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
Yeah. So, you know, you can't outrun a fire like that.
Nope.
And just keep in mind, and if we do get fires, just be extremely careful in front of them.
You got a few more minutes?
Yeah.
Be right back after this with the Long Ranger, and we'll finish up the hour with Mr. Emmons. I got Jimmy Emmons from Leedy here with me. We're talking soil health, fertilizers, ecosystem. We don't want to talk about grass fires, but we got to make our point across to you that don't be that person. And we got enough people out there to worry about without causing any other trouble. So it's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your livestock nutrition center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus, at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed, better results.
From sunup till sundown, we know your irrigation equipment needs to be as hardworking as you, because we all know a farmer's job is never done. Valley is your strength in the field. We're the everyman brand. No matter your operational setup, we have the irrigation equipment and technology to move you forward. Valley products are built to last, easy to operate, and ahead of the curve. Durable, reliable, and built tough. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at knutsonirrigation.com.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. Complete nutrition for every animal, that's what you'll find in Hi-Pro Feeds. At Hi-Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local Hi-Pro Feeds dealer. Providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. See their ad in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. See all they have to offer at HobartFarmAndGarden.com. That's HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
I'm back. Me and Jimmy. Jimmy and me. The Jimmy Show we're having today. Anyway, 69 degrees. The winds are still around 10 miles an hour. No big deal. It's going to be beautiful today. So get some stuff done. And I know you hooked those water hoses back up this week, so unhook them, get them drained again, get the firewood stacked up, because Saturday looks no bueno, is all I can tell you. Today, 68 for high, which we surpassed that already. We're at 69 tonight, 36, tomorrow 61, with west-south-to-west winds at 10 to 18 miles an hour. Tomorrow afternoon, winds hit out of the west, will be blowing 20 to 25 with gusts up to 35, and about dark 30 tomorrow night. Here she comes. 25 to 30 mile an hour north winds with gusts 45 and higher. And Saturday, no good. 29 to 31 mile an hour steady winds with gusts up to 40, 45. By the way, Mark Boswell, you don't have to come back to the golf course Saturday and sign autographs and take pictures with the kids, because there's nobody going to be there. No golfing Saturday. Saturday night, still blustery. And Sunday, 51 with north winds switching out of the southwest. Low Sunday night, 23. Low Saturday night, I forgot to put that in there, is at 15. And Martin Luther King Jr. Day, Monday, 56 with light winds. And that is your Long Ranger forecast. Well, I got a few minutes left here. And an hour long with Jimmy Emmons is not long enough, I can tell you that. But we'll see. We'll hit on all the hard spots. How's that? But anyway, what do you see coming? What are you thinking?
You know, I just think we need to watch them cattle nutrition out there right now, watch that range management, start thinking about if it doesn't rain, these big winds coming in, you know, how do we keep this thing from blowing away on the fields? And because once it starts blowing, it's hard to stop, and it's always better to stop it before it starts if we can. So just kind of watch that. You know, Granddad always said it'll rain when we need it, and we're going to need it when it does, but that doesn't mean it's going to rain anytime soon. Mm. And if I'm wrong, and if the meteorologists are wrong, which they can be wrong,
oh yeah,
you know, that would be a good thing if we catch a good snow.
You're saying science can be wrong?
Well, occasionally they can miss it. Lacey's really good, but, you know, they can miss that. And, you know, it will rain. But just prepare for the worst here and pray for the best that we can get through this. It is dry, and we need to be extremely careful.
Yeah, one listener just texted in and said, it's pretty dry when you drive through your pasture and it looks like you're going down a dirt road.
Yes.
It is true.
These dirt roads, that dust is sifting out into the grass, which, you know, affects the cattle health. We talked about wildlife. These dusty roads, get out in that grass, it's dusty way out away from the road.
Yeah.
So there's things you got to watch. And like I said earlier, all the vets are telling us, you know, watch these cattle out on wheat pasture and these baby calves and stuff for dust pneumonia. If one looks a little puny, you need to be doctoring them now. Don't put that off, because the point of no return is quicker than you want it to be.
Actually, it probably wouldn't be a bad thing to have a little ice chest in your truck right now with a little medicine just in case, and you can always put it up when you get home.
Yep.
But it'd save you some trip. I know your show is Hadio. I have one sow that needs a boyfriend. With all your connections, do you know of a boar I could buy, borrow, or rent? Well, I just put it out on the air. Hey, are you my buddy from down south? Where is, you said, Dead Man's Corner, is that what it was called? I think, I haven't seen you on the show in a while. I wanted to know where, Hell's Corner. Where is Hell's Corner at? I need to know. It's just driving me crazy. So anyway, I know that's you, Mr. McGee. So anyway, if anybody's got a boar that they want to rent or he can borrow, I'll give you his number. And why don't you AI it? save you a lot of trouble. Yep. Anyway, so take it to your vet and get it AI'd. But anyway, thanks for texting in. But yeah, I know everybody that went through the 11 one already knows what we're getting ready to go through, but we need to freshly remind them that there's a lot of, now you have a lot on your plate.
Yes. And, you know, typically farmers and ranchers are always optimistic. And typically what happens is we're going in the drought, everybody keeps thinking it's going to rain. I'll hang on to my cows. And then finally, well, it's never going to rain. And then you're liquidating, you're getting out, and then it starts raining again. And then typically, well, it's going to shut off. We're going to be in it. And so we're always seem like months or years behind in our planning. And really that planning needs to be done up front. And like I said, if it goes to getting wet, you know, you can always lay them plans aside and save them till next time.
Start another new set of plans.
That's right. You know, that's the thing about ag. It's always changing, and we just need to be proactive when we can. And that's hard for me to do. I'm not the expert. I'm just saying that what I see and the trends that I saw in North Dakota this summer when I was up there, you know, the guys that normally would have baled 1,500 bales of hay had 100.
Yeah.
And stuff. So we just need to always plan ahead for that insurance.
And this cycle we're getting ready to go through, and we come out of the 11 drought, and in the 15 and 16, the cattle were crazy high.
Yeah.
But that drought wasn't going on in the Northwest and the West and the far North. It was going on right here in the Central. This is a huge drought. And those guys up there already called or moved their cattle to somewhere else, and they might be moving them again because they moved them probably down in this area.
Yeah.
And so it's it's a vicious cycle.
I hate to be such gloom and doom, but, I mean, just things that we need to think about as we're planning for the future and strategies to help us survive, because that's what we got to do in ag, is help one another and survive the tough times, celebrate the good times.
Yeah, and because from what I've seen, we don't need any big fires, because I don't know that I can't donate any hay this time.
Yeah, I know. So, you know, when we're hooking on trailer, just make sure that the chains, safety chains, are up good. You know, if you do lose a wheel or bearing, don't pull off in the bar ditch to start with, because that hot axle or bearing, you know, can start a fire. Just little things that you can do out there that might save somebody's house or ranch or cattle herd down the road.
He said it's so dry you can hear when you see a jackrabbit, he's carrying a canteen.
Yeah, now that's dry, Jimmy.
Well, that shows you what kind of crowd I got listening to the show.
Yep.
Well, the music is starting to play. And
all right.
You don't know how much I appreciate you coming in, because you say you're not an expert, but I love following you on Facebook and the shows you go to with the conservation department. And soil health has become, it should have been all along.
It should have been.
But now it's getting there. So you got a farm and you need some help, you can find Mr. Emmons really easy, and he'll get you in the right direction. And we got people saying, great guest. I know, my ratings go back up.
Well, you're hard up for it. You need to have another Jimmy come on.
I'm going to. I'm going to work on Mr. Taylor.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for the invitation,
Jimmy. All right. You've been listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark and Jimmy Emmons. God bless and have a great day.
Number one for new country.
KECO, Elk City.
Disappointing news for the president. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News. Two Democratic senators are standing firm in support of the filibuster rule, which the president was hoping to dump for voting reform legislation so those measures could pass with a simple majority. But Arizona's Kyrsten Sinema says the bills address symptoms of a disease, not the disease itself.
And while I continue to support these bills, I will not support separate actions that worsen the underlying disease of division infecting our country.
And West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin telling reporters changes are needed to make the Senate work better, but not getting rid of the filibuster. This as the president was heading to a lunch meeting with Senate Democrats on the issue. Members of the far-right Oath Keepers militia group are now indicted for seditious conspiracy in the Capitol riot. The group's founder and 11 others charged with conspiring to oppose the transfer of power by force in a variety of ways, including the use of encrypted communication and transporting firearms and ammunition to the nation's capital. One of the biggest student loan companies in the U.S. is about to pay up, reaching an agreement worth about $1.8 billion to settle claims of predatory lending practices in nearly 40 states.
When borrowers of federal loans serviced by Navient were struggling to make their payments, the company actively steered these borrowers into payment plans that racked up more interest when Navient could have provided them with a more affordable, income-driven option.
Pennsylvania State Attorney General Josh Shapiro says Navient will have to cancel $1.7 billion in loan balances and pay $95 million in restitution. The company has called the claims unfounded and does not admit any wrongdoing. America is listening to Fox News.
Has this ever happened to you? My friend was telling me about his new pair of headphones, so I looked them up online. Now, everywhere I go is a creepy ad for those headphones I looked at one time. I hate that feeling like I'm being watched. I got DuckDuckGo and saw a difference right away. With one download, you can search and browse privately, avoiding trackers, all for free. It's that simple. Take back your privacy online with DuckDuckGo. Privacy simplified.
More than one in three people will face cancer in their lifetime. Unfortunately, fear can stop you from getting cancer screening, but it won't stop cancer. Early detection can save your life. Don't wait for symptoms to appear to act. Cancer screening is safe, effective, and accessible for everyone, including free or low-cost screening programs. Go to cancerscreenquiz.com now and take the American Cancer Society's 2-minute cancer screening quiz to find out what screening tests are right for you. Don't wait. Take the quiz. Get screened. Go to cancerscreenquiz.com now. cancerscreenquiz.com.
Circle A Western Outdoor has a brand new website, CircleAWestern.com. You can now shop our entire inventory online. I'm store manager Taya Stanley, and we understand that being able to walk into a store nowadays isn't as easy as it once was. That's why we launched CircleAWestern.com so our customers could have a secure online store access 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Plus, sign up for the newsletter and get notified of our sales and specials. Visit us online at CircleAWestern.com or stop by Circle A Western Outdoor, 3000 West 3rd Street in Elk City. Find us on Facebook.
Let's go! It's go time!
Go!
Let's go!
96.5 KECO.